You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's our 2018 FAI Cup Final special, our last podcast of the season, I'm afraid to say, and I'm delighted to be joined though this week again by John Breyer.
Evening, Kieran. Yeah, tinge of sadness with it being the last podcast. Really enjoyed it this year. Hope all the listeners have as well. But of course, it's our Cup Final special.
Yeah, we might just have a little look back at the end of the show on some of the highlights from this year. It's been a fantastic year for Between the Stripes podcast and for BetweenTheStripes.ie, which is doing great guns at the moment. But tonight, as you said, it's our FAI Cup Final special. We have four absolutely wonderful guests on the show. If you're wondering why we have no Dundalk or Cork players on, you have to remember we had a lot of Dundalk players on the final on our final show last year, and we also had a Dundalk special when they won the league, so we didn't want to overdo it on that aspect. And then as well as that, Cork and Dundalk, they're playing down the media side of things this year. They both had their own media days and they're kind of leaving it at that, really, apart from one little pieces here and there. So what we've gone for, we've gone for some insight, I suppose, people with a different aspect of things. I mean, we're going to be joined tonight by Alan Cawley, great man from Soccer Republic, good friend of the podcast. He's going to give us his views. We have Dan Murray, a cup winner with Cork in 2007, as well as a three-time League of Ireland winner. We're joined by, from a fan's point of view, we have Jared Lennon from Dundalk on, so that should be an entertaining one. And we have Lisa Fallon as well, who's a scout at Cork City. So we have different perspectives all over the place tonight, John. It should be a really interesting show. But before we get into the cup final side of things, we have to round off the league campaign. And there's only one place to start, really. It's Richmond Park. It was Conan Byrne saying goodbye. It was to be Kenny Shields saying goodbye, as his team were trounced 5-0 by the Pats.
Yeah, and this, Kieran, was indeed the end of the line for Kenny Shields at Derry. A 5-0 hammering. Started promising enough for Derry, and they nearly went ahead. Clark saving from a corner. Couple of players really impressed me this match, and a guy that I've been questioning before, Connor Clifford. I thought he was excellent, and obviously Conan Byrne and his final appearance for Pats. But Clifford was allowed space to strike home to take the lead 1-0. Seaman header, he nearly equalised, but that was cleared off the line by Simon Madden. But then it was Conan Byrne and Connor Clifford show. Conan Byrne's super through ball to James Duna made it 2-0.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that's Duna's first goal for Pats. Probably expecting a lot more. You remember we had him on very early on in the year after a surprise move from Rovers, and there was so much expected of him. But hopefully now with the new management coming in there, he might flourish next year with more game time.
Oh, definitely. He's the potential to be a big asset.
He took that goal really well, the way he rounded the keeper and put it away.
He did, but it's a super ball, wasn't it? Oh, fantastic. Burn. Yeah, you can't buy experience like that, as Pats are going to find out next season. Clifford chipped the ball through to Toa. That made it 3-0. And then Conan Byrne cross again. That landed pinpoint to Jake Keegan to make it 4. And then finally, Conan Byrne again fed Duna. That was 5-0. And like I said, I have to say, Conor Clifford and Conan Byrne were both excellent on the night.
Yeah, I suppose if you can't score on your goodbye game, you might as well get 3 assists. Conan Byrne, absolutely superb. He's a huge loss for Pats, but wherever he goes next season, he's going to be a huge success.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got plenty in the tank by that. Are you surprised Pats let him go, Kieran?
Well, from reading reports, it's down to Pats. They're going to a daytime training set up next season to come into line with the likes of Dundalk and Cork and Rovers. So with Conan being a teacher, obviously that just simply doesn't suit him. Talk that maybe he's obviously going to have to stay in Dublin if that's the case. So you're looking at probably the likes of Shelburne down in the first division. Bohemian's been strongly linked as well. Big decision for Conan to make. Maybe with that Shell's background that he has, will he go back there perhaps? Does he want to play first division football? It's very hard to know. But either way, he's going to be a great asset for whoever he signs for.
Well, that'd be great to watch if he goes to Bowes with Keith Ward and Conan Byrne in the same
all
team.
The
that would be amazing
all
to
the
watch.
The damage he's done to Bowes in recent times. It's certainly an interesting one. But we might as well talk about the Derry situation, John. I suppose that was the other big headline to come out of it. I don't think it was any surprise. There was a lot of noise coming out of the camp before the game that Shields would stay on, but the feeling amongst the fans and I think amongst pundits and even ourselves on the show here last week, we thought Shields' time was up, and this 5-0 defeat summed it up.
And a lot of players going from Derry.
Oh, mass exodus.
Very, very concerned for them for next season. We talk about, you know, trends and teams on the up, the likes of Waterford and maybe Rovers, you know, if they sign the right players as they're rumoured to be looking at. But Derry would certainly be a team on the way down, and they have to appoint a manager quickly, Kieran.
Well, today they've released, we're recording this here on a Wednesday evening, the big news today is that Ian Barraclough, he was the man, been strongly, strongly linked with this job. It will not be him. He has signed a new 2-year deal with the IFA. The other names been linked with this job are Declan Devine, of course, former manager, former cup winner there, Jim Magilton, former number 2 at Shamrock Rovers, Paddy McLaughlin, who is the manager at Institute, Gary Hamilton, who's player manager at Glenavon, and Darren Kelly from Hyde, which is probably the strangest candidate out of all of their backgrounds.
I think he's obviously got a good agent, Kieran.
I think so. But the point I was going to make, Derry have come out today and they've said they're in no panic to appoint a manager. Now, I think that's wrong. I think they really need to get moving on getting a squad in place, because Kieran, the amount of players they've lost, they could be in trouble next year.
They are shipping their big names. I think there's a definite cost cutting going on there. I have to say I'm concerned for them for next season. They need to get a manager in quick. Never mind this taking the time. Yeah. They need to get a manager in quick and settle the ship.
They seem to be looking to managers currently that are operating in Northern Ireland, and I'd be concerned with that. I think they need to get someone in that knows the league, because the amount of players they've lost, they need to get a squad in that knows what this league is about. I know it's all well and good getting young players in, but we've seen plenty of examples in the past where loads of promising young players have come to a club at once and they haven't been able to cope because they don't have the steel around them. I think for me, out of all those candidates, the best man for that job is Declan Devine. He definitely had the support of the fans. But again, reading today, apparently he's not interested in the job. And you'd have to say he was very, very harshly treated last time around. So maybe that's understandable.
Well, I thought Barraclough would have been a good fit, Kieran. You know, he's got that. He's working in under-21s at the moment. Yeah, but obviously he's signed a new contract. But also he had that... you know, he's been there, done that with Sligo.
I know, but the big argument there would be that Paul Cook, it was his squad.
You've still got to get the results, Kieran.
I know that, but again, it'd be a totally different dressing room. He would have walked into a Derry. He came into Sligo. He had Gary Rogers, he had Alan Keane, Irla Davran, Joey and Dole, Danny North, Mark Quigley, Raf Cataro. Walking into Derry, he is the bones of a squad. Yeah. So it's a huge job for whoever comes in there. I think you have to go with somebody that knows the club, knows the area, knows the league. Declan Devine is the man.
Okay, we will. You know, I'd love to put it out there to Derry fans. Let's see.
Get in touch with us on Facebook, facebook.com/betweenthestripes. Leave a comment on a couple of our posts. Let us know, Derry fans, who you think should be the next manager of Derry City. And you can get us on Twitter. Our handle's at Between Stripes, or use the hashtag Between the Stripes, and we will certainly have a bit of debate on that. But let's move along to the next fixture, John. This one was surrounded by controversy pre-match regarding betting patterns, but Waterford came out 4-1 winners against Limerick.
Kieran, the first fiver that went on Limerick should have sent alarm bells ringing with the bookies, because let's face it, Limerick have been pretty awful recently, and we knew this was going to be a really scratch team. Their eyes were on the playoffs.
Tommy Barrett told us as much on the show here last week. For anyone that didn't follow this betting story, Limerick were 33-1 outsiders, as naturally would be the case given their form this season. It appears what happened. A fake WhatsApp message seemed to start circulating on social
media, isn't it?
Where there was a rumour that Waterford players hadn't been paid in 6 or 8 weeks and they were going to throw the game. Now, that was clearly absolute rubbish, and anyone that fell for that, I don't feel sorry for you losing your money, because you've been quite gullible on that.
If you put money on Limerick to win at Waterford, you're an idiot.
I can't put in any other way, John.
Should we talk about the match?
Yeah, Waterford ran out 4-1 winners. It was never in doubt.
No, Sean Martin was pushed over for a very, very obvious penalty early on. And one man that's been impressing us recently, Desi Hutchinson, he scored that
great
penalty.
Great crosser of the ball, I have to say.
Yeah, and then that free kick of his after that, great free kick, hit the bar. Akinadi somehow misses the follow-up.
He's had a very poor season.
I'd agree. And I don't think Waterford will keep hold of him, to be honest.
I said it on last week's show, they might keep hold of him, but I think they're going to look to get a big name in there again. But then again, I'm sure Akinadi came down for a decent sum, so are they going to really want to have him sitting on the bench if he's not delivering? It's hard to know.
Having said all that about our criticism of Limerick, their goal was a thing of beauty. It was a super move. He wouldn't have looked out of place at the Nou Camp. It was a lovely move, and the goal came from Colin Walsh O'Loughlin. It was a super move leading to that, and equaliser gave him a bit of hope, not for too much longer. That man Hutchinson involved again, cross for Comerford to head home from the free kick. Conor Ellis shot wide. Jack Brady, he had a good game. He bounced back well after
very, very good
mistake
game.
The other week.
Jack made an absolute howler last time out, and We spoke to Tommy Barrett about him last week, and his manager was sticking by the youngster, and rightfully so. He's a very talented young goalkeeper, and we know that from his time at Longford, and he performed very well in this
one. Made one particular save from Akinade, which was really, really outstanding. And well done, Jack. Great to see him bounce back.
He's going to have to play a big role now. He could be the hero for Limerick. Tommy Holland out injured. Came off injured the other night in the first leg against Harps, which they lost 1-0. But by all reports, Jack had another strong game down there. So he's going to have to start now in this second leg at home against Limerick. And you'd like to think the Limerick people will come out and support their club in this do or die game. And it could be Jack Brady that's the hero at the end of it.
I wonder if the ref had seen that WhatsApp message, because there was a huge penalty shout for Akinade getting bundled over in the box. But that wasn't given.
Not sure on that one.
No. Well, it could have been given either way, that one. Look, Hutchinson, free kick again. That was deflected in, 3-1, and 4-1 from John Martin from a header from across. And the only other thing at the end, another Jack Brady double save. He did really well. But overall, Limerick showed very little apart from that super goal they scored. And 4-1 was just about right.
Yeah, we'll be running through that game between Harps and Limerick from Monday later on in the show, and we'll obviously preview that big second leg coming up. But just finally on this, John, from a Waterford point of view, JJ Lunny has signed. Waterford getting their business done very early.
Yeah, super signing, I have to say. And this is where, for me, Bows are going to struggle. They're always going to struggle to keep all the players when full-time outfits come in, unless it specifically suits a player to be part-time.
They've tied down their fullback Darragh Leahy, which I think a lot of people thought they might lose him.
He was on your player of the season, wasn't he? He was on your team of the season.
The noise is coming out of Daniel Kelly as well. It's not a certainty that he's going to leave. He's been linked with Bolton, but he seems a bit torn between the choice, so maybe they can get him for another season as well.
We've gone off on a tangent to Bowes here. We're talking about Waterford.
Yeah, but from a Waterford point of view, they're showing their ambition. We talked about it last week, how they are going to have to be ruthless in this transfer window if they want to close that gap on the top two. And this is certainly a promising start from them.
It's a very early start. They're not messing about. They're signalling their intentions. Could they be one of the challengers to Dundalk next season?
I definitely think we'll see something similar, where they had a very, very strong start this season. It's whether they can get the consistency next year. So maybe a mix of young talents like Lunny and maybe a couple more experienced names coming in. As we've mentioned, someone to perform up front like Akinade hasn't. But let's move along from those two clubs now. We'll go to the showgrounds. A fine win for Sligo to end a very disappointing season. Liam Buckley was watching his new side in action as they beat Shamrock Rovers 2-0 at the showgrounds.
Yeah, a bit of a flop of a match for Shamrock Rovers, this one. I'm sure they'll have gone there thinking that they could have got a result at Sligo.
Probably a comfortable one given Sligo's form, especially if they took a 5-0 hammering against Dundalk.
Sligo players might have been keen to impress the watching Liam Buckley, who was in Ollie Hogan's favourite spot in the stands for this one. Gary Shaw had a shot saved early on. He's obviously going to be released by Rovers. We heard that news. Dylan Watts hit the crossbar, but after that, super overhead kick from a man on serious form at the moment, Mikey Drennan.
Yeah, 7 goals in his last 8, and I was reading this week that Drennan has said he would like to stay at Sligo. I know they don't have they only got the manager in place recently, but surely a contract should have been slapped down on him very, very quickly. And with noises like that coming out now, you just wonder if other clubs are going to have a look. Maybe even his former club, Shamrock Rovers, might try and get him back.
Well, they've been missing a goal scorer, haven't they? And he's scoring,
a fine talent.
He's scoring for fun at the moment, you know, and he's enjoying his football, which is great to see. We talked to him, didn't we, a few weeks ago, and he'd only just signed back. He'd had and then he really started getting into the goals.
And maybe that's why he wants to stay at Sligo. He's probably settled there now. He's enjoying his football. Another season there could do him good. But I mean, if the contract hasn't come and a big club comes,
Sligo have taken a chance on him as well. You know, you have to remember that, and he's repaying that. So whether or not he'll stay at Sligo, I don't know. We'll have to just wait and see. The second came from John Mann, header. Very highly rated youngster.
Very highly rated. I haven't seen a lot of him, I have to say, but there's very strong reports about him coming out at the moment.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, it'd be players like that that Liam Buckley would be keen to keep and build a future team out of. So, promising signs there for Buckley.
Yeah, as for Shamrock Rovers, there's big reports in the press about a couple of players coming in there, the likes of McAneth and Kieran Sadlier, which would be a very exciting one.
Yeah, well, I think, look, I have to do it this way. If it's Rovers, finishing where they're finishing this season is just not good enough. So get out there, sign the right players, get us up top of that league.
Final word on Rovers, if that is to be the case, if they bring in the likes of McAneff, if they bring in Sadlier,
they're
massive
bring in signings. Wow.
A big striker that's going to score 15 plus goals.
Yeah.
The pressure is really on Stephen Bradley to deliver. this no more of this project nonsense. No. He has to go and deliver a trophy next season if he's going to be signing players of that ilk.
If he signs players like that, they'll play well in Rovers' formation and the way they play.
I think Dylan Watson is a huge addition to that team. Yeah. If you're adding a couple more flair players around him, you already have the more rigid players, the likes of Bulger, the likes of Sam Bone in that midfield. Mm. It could be a lovely little combination. It's just whether they all click, whether the goals go in. If they do, Rovers could be dangerous next season. If not, I think Bradley's in big trouble.
Yeah, I think they'll do well next season. Keeping an eye on that. Especially, well, it could all be just agent talk. We don't know at the moment, so... Sadly, he could find himself anywhere at this stage. If certainly what we're hearing is right, then they have a great shout for next season.
Certainly the right type of player they should be going after.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They have to make an absolute big jump on this season.
Yeah,
because that is completely not acceptable this season.
Let's go to the Champions. They drew 1-1 away in their final game against Bohemians.
Yeah, Bohs have been impressive of late, haven't they? They had a good finish to the season. I think they finished behind Pats in the end.
Just in the end.
But, this is a good result, make no...
And the Bohs under-19s winning their league last night, beating Shamrock Rovers in the Talla Stadium. What a way to end the season for Bohs.
Yeah, fantastic. So some real...
And it was that man, Ali Regba, that was...
You really rate him, don't you?
Yeah, he was the star again last night. I don't think he'll be at Bohs next season. I'm sure there's been scouts now that have picked up on his potential.
It wouldn't be a surprise, would it?
I hope he is, because I'd love to see him playing... week in, week out in the top flight next season, but I just think he's a real, real talent.
Yeah, and I think Bohs would be the kind of club that would, pitch him in and give him the chance. So, but look, they drew 1-1. Duffy shot wide early on, same with Daniel Kelly. But it was that man, Dinny Corcoran, who seems to have found some great form towards the end of the season. Another hot shot at the moment. Buckley cross, Dinny Corcoran 1-0.
Where was that form earlier in the season, though, when they were going through that dry patch of goals?
I know, they could have done with him hitting his strides then, couldn't they? But Gary Rogers, brilliant double save from Ward and Devaney.
One of the best pieces of goalkeeping this season.
Yeah,
absolutely fantastic.
And he made a great save from Ward as well after that. Same at the other end, two great goalkeepers. Supply saved well from
Duffy
just before half-time, yeah. Corcoran could have made it too. He hit the post after a lovely ball from Keith Ward. I just love watching him, Kieran.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, he's a
really
great talent.
Him to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Wonder how good he'd be in a full-time team.
Mm.
I know his other job and things, but...
He's probably getting on a little bit now, I suppose, but just for pure talent on the ball, he's superb.
He's probably my favourite playmaker in the league, I have to say. He's really good at that. Cleary equalised. He headed in from a corner, and then worrying injury to Pat Hooban.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle, it seems, or gone over on his ankle celebrating the goal. A very, very bizarre one, but a very worrying one for Dundalk fans. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on as we're doing our cup final preview. Let's look at the final game of the season in the Premier Division for 2018. It was the runners-up Cork. They absolutely demolished Bray by 5-1.
Yeah, Bray will be delighted this season's over. And you kind of think, are they going to end up being an Athlone or a Wexford next season? I'd be a little bit worried for them.
They're just a club you don't really know at the moment what type of budget they're going to play with next season or what the setup is going to be. Are they going to look to simply blood young players or are they going to make a go getting back up? I'm sure Gary Cronin wouldn't have gone in there if the ambition was just to linger around the First Division for a couple
Kieran,
of years.
He's a massive job on his hands, massive rebuild he's doing. But, he likes to play football the right way, so hopefully do all right. But this result did him no favours anyway. McNamee fed Cummins early on, but his effort was saved by Evan Moran. They'll want to keep hold of him anyway, that's for sure. Sadly, I made it 1-0, again from McNamee cross. He headed home. Amazing run from Shane Griffin then. Was he linked with a move as well?
He's linked away to England,
Amazing run from him. He fed Gerard Morrissey, who made it 2-0. Sadly, one of his trademark shots from distance made it 3. McNamee smashed him 4 for the fourth. This wasn't even half-time, Kieran. So, Julie got his hat-trick in the second half.
25 goals this season.
Yeah, and you didn't even put him in your team of the season. What's going on there, Kieran?
I just wonder, will he start the cup final on Sunday?
How can he be left out?
Yeah, he can't be. Especially the form he's in now, you can't leave him out.
Yeah. Jake Ellis ball won back, 5-1 all over at that stage. But what concerned me for Cork side of things is these rumours about pay cuts and players moving away aren't going away, are they? Sadly, are McInniff linked to Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge struggle for Cork next season if they're going to lose the type of players that have been spoken about. But then again, John Coffin's been criticised for a style of play. if he's getting rid of these players that he hasn't really used. I think he'd agree himself, he probably hasn't used them to the best of his abilities this season. If he's to bring in his own sort of players there next year, they could be the same type of Cork, very rigid, very hard to break down, very hard to play against, and they could get similar results. But look, it's all about the cup final on Sunday, and we're going to bring you our first interview of the night now. A man who won the cup back in 2007 with Cork City is the former league winner with Cork and with Shamrock Rovers, Dan Murray. Okay, folks, the FAI Cup, it's a big trophy to win. It's not easy to win, and I'm delighted to say we're going to be joined on the line now by a man that has experience of lifting that famous trophy back in 2007 with Cork City. It's, of course, Dan Murray. Dan, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Lovely. Great. Thanks for having us on.
So, Dan, I suppose the first question is, what are you up to these days?
Well, I've got a proper job these days, so that takes a lot of my time. I'm working as a technician in a biopharmaceutical company, so a bit different from my footballing days, but that's the reality of a League of Ireland footballer, to be honest, yeah.
And where are you speaking to us from today?
Cork. I'm still living in Cork myself, so...
So
I think I'm married to a Cork girl, so they don't seem to like to leave their mothers too much.
So you're definitely a man to speak. You're definitely a man to speak to about the atmosphere around the city. I'd imagine it's starting to really heat up now. We're speaking here on a Tuesday evening, and I imagine the atmosphere is starting to slowly build towards that final on Sunday.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's a big thing. I think, like I say, we've been spoilt the last few years that we've been going up there to watch them. Or last 4 years, really, like to go up and watch them in the cup final. So the buzz is the same, though. I think the cup final for like the one-off just brings out the fans more than anything else. I think for the one-off occasion, like you say, it's going up to the best football stadium in Ireland. And to be honest, I think it's a great day out. It's a great day out for everyone. Great stadium to go and watch football. And luckily, the last couple of years have been good ones.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, really, that when you think about it, that these two teams have played in the last four finals. There's many fans out there, including myself, that haven't seen their club playing in that stadium yet. So, obviously, yeah, from a neutral's point of view...
Like you say, I think everyone wants them to meet each other, at least in a quarter-final or semi-final. So, one of them will go out early. But they've been the best two teams for the last few years, especially, so... If they're not going to play each other, it takes a serious team to beat them. Like I said, I think Bowes had an unbelievable chance this year in the first game to put Cork out. But like I say, the top team seemed to find a way of staying in ties and going on to win them.
Yeah, and we won't go over that penalty incident again because I think everyone has had their say on it now at this stage. But obviously, as you mentioned, they're the two best teams in the country. It's going to take a great team to stop them reaching the final, and they've both managed to do it again.
I think... they've set the standards for the league, I think, for the last few years. Like Dundalk for the 2 years were just above Cork City, and then Cork had to counter them, and luckily with the players that they had that year were the best team that year. But again, Dundalk have took it up another notch, and they're the standard that everyone wants to reach in the league, and Cork are trying to stay up there. And like to say, they're the second best team in the country in the league. And in a one-off, you just don't know, because Cork have had a good feeling in the Aviva the last couple of years.
I suppose the big question from the neutrals' point of view is, are we going to see a more attractive final? The last three have been very, very cagey.
I would say it'll be very, very, very similar to the other ones. I'd be very surprised if it's open, free-flowing football. I think just the way the two teams are pretty cagey for the last couple. I don't think you can say one team's been more than the other. I think I'd be very surprised if there's more than a goal in it. And if I was to predict, I can see penalties again, to be honest.
I'm starting to think the same way myself, Dan. Obviously, you had a very long League of Ireland career, most notably with Cork, but obviously you won two league titles as well with Shamrock Rovers. Did you ever have a rivalry as intense as this Cork-Dundalk rivalry? Because rivalries come and go in football, and particularly in the League of Ireland, where clubs can't always sustain their success. But for the last 4 or 5 years, it has been these two and nobody else.
Yeah, no, I don't think there has been since that I've seen. I think, like you say, I think through the time that I've been there, there's always been like small rivalries that I can remember. It was for a little while. It was Cork and Shells when we won the league in 2005. There was a massive rivalry between the two then, and then for another year there. It was Cork and Drogheda. We seemed to meet each other all the time in the cup, into the cup competitions. They beat us a couple of times, and there was a fierce rivalry then, but then they sort of went away. But this seems to be, this has been around for 4-5 years now, so it's been great for the league, I think, to be honest. It'd be nice if you get another team into the mix to take it up another notch, really. But I think, like I said before, the two teams have set an unbelievable standard for the rest of the teams to try and get up to. And like I say, it's you always want the two best teams to play in the cup final, but I'm not sure the neutral wants to see it for the fourth, fifth year on the trot.
Yeah, and just moving away from the cup final perspective for a moment, you mentioned there that hopefully another team might come into the mix in the coming seasons. One of the clubs that everyone always talks about is one of your former clubs, Shamrock Rovers. Have you seen much of the Hoops this season, and where do you think they need to improve to get up to that level?
I haven't seen a massive amount. I've seen a lot of them on TV. I've seen a couple of times when they come down to Cork. I think that, to be honest, at the start of the year, it was the goalkeeping situation, and I think they've addressed that. I think I played with Alan Manis when I was there, and he was the best keeper in the league then, and I think he's definitely made them a lot better. I think the back four look a lot better, and I think that was a weakness last year. I think now it's just the goal scoring thing. If they could find someone, I suppose every team's looking for a goal scorer that can get you 20 odd goals a season, I think that'd take him to the next level, which is to challenge Cork and Dundalk, which they're the hardest players to find out there, whichever league you're playing in, that you can guarantee your 20-25 goals a season, puts you in a great position. But they're moving in the right direction. I think Rovers have got everything right going off the pitch. It's just now you want the on the pitch things to marry it with a trophy, like a cup even, or obviously to win the league again would be great for them. But I still think they're probably, it's a massive off season for them, really. I think they're 3 or 4 players off Dundalk and Cork, really, and that's the challenge, because there's not loads of players in, especially in this league, that are going to make Shamrock Rovers that much better to go and challenge Dundalk, unless players are going to leave Dundalk and Cork, which might not really happen.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned there the need for a trophy at Shamrock Rovers, because I think that cup exit to Drogheda this year was a huge blow to Stephen Bradley and his players. It's obviously a very, very long time since Shamrock Rovers won the cup, despite having that tag of cup specialist. When you were at the club, did you feel that pressure from the fans to try and break that cup hoodoo?
Yeah, massive. I actually couldn't believe it when I went up there, how big, it was great winning the league, but the fans were talking about the cup so much. Like, I was the first year we got to the final, we lost to Sligo, and it was brilliant atmosphere, brilliant build up to it, and there was such a big buzz from the supporters to go and win it that I couldn't believe it, especially after we just won the league. And I always felt that was the biggest trophy to win, but it felt like sometimes, because they haven't won it for so long, that the cup was the one to win. And like I say, there's not that many trophies to win, obviously, in the league, and if Rovers could win a cup, I think that would be the next step that Rovers need to move to be challenging the Dundalk and Cork, because once you start winning, like Cork won the cup, won the league the next year, won the cup again, it's sort of, once you get started winning things, it sort of builds confidence in the squad, clubs start feeling better about themselves, and that's when you start challenging for the league trophy.
Yeah, and I remember that 2010 final very well. Obviously, it was the first final at the Aviva, and Kieran Kelly pulling off his heroics, but Rovers had huge chances on the day, especially late on in the game, to win that one, so it must have been a real sickener for you. But I suppose you had the joy of winning in 2007 previously with Cork.
Yeah. Like I've said it a few times before. I think to win that actual day of winning the cup, there's no better day as a footballer, really. The whole, obviously, losing's horrendous, one of the worst days, but when you win it, it's an unbelievable day. It's like you get the bigger, arguably the bigger buzz than win the league, because the league's just the culmination of doing so well during the season. You are the best team in the country, but to go and win the cup, you've played well that day, and there's a buzz, there's a bigger crowd there, you're in one of the best stadiums around at the time, And it was brilliant. It was a great day, obviously, freezing cold in the RDS back then, windiest day I could ever imagine playing football, but you don't really care about them and forget about that quick enough when you win them.
Yeah, well, as a Longford fan, I don't want to remember that day, so we'll move on to our final question, Dan. Can I get a prediction off you for Sunday's final, please?
I can't see any cagey affair, a goal in it, but if it, I just have a feeling it's going to go to penalties again, to be honest, and Mark Minolti to save another penalty in front of the Dundalk fans would be good.
God, imagine it. Dan, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Cheers, thanks for having us.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So great to hear from Dan Murray there, John, even if he did want to bring up that 07 Cup final. But let's move along and speak about the playoffs. So as we mentioned earlier in the show, Harps ran out 1-0 winners on the bank holiday Monday. It was that man, Paddy McCourt, scoring from the penalty spot on his final appearance at Finn Park. Is it enough of a lead, though, to carry to Limerick for this second leg on Friday?
Oh, kiddo, right. This is the big ask, isn't it? I fully expected Harps to win this by more than a goal. Mm. They weren't great.
No.
Weren't Harps. And Limerick, I think, will be happy enough with that. The main thing is, in the first leg, is not to be out of the game when you're in the second leg. Yeah. So, you know, they're going back to Limerick. Early goal, and it's all square.
Yeah.
But the question is, can they do it? Because they've been poor all season, Kieran, and they've been awful this second, third quarter of the season.
They've been awful all
fourth quarter of the season. Yeah, well, they have, but, you know, they've been extra, especially poor.
Yeah. Harps fans were very honest from this first leg, I have to say, from speaking to them. A lot of them agreed, and Limerick fans said the same, that if Limerick had a striker that could put it in the net the other night, then Harps would have been in big trouble. Is there going to be a player in that Limerick side that is the Michael Rafter was for Dundalk in 2012? Is someone like Conor Ellis going to step up? Is Morrissey going to step up? We've spoken about Jack Brady. Could he be the hero at the other end? Is it going to go all the way to penalties? Is there going to be a late BJ Banda moment? We just don't know. It's great that it's still competitive after that first leg, because I think a lot of people feared that Harps might run away with it on home soil.
Yeah,
that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
I said all season long that I felt Limerick would just stay up, and after this first leg result, they've given me that extra bit of belief. I think Limerick do it.
Watch out for the suspicious betting patterns on this one, guys. No, I don't think so. I mean, it has given them a chance, but I think Harps will be way too strong for them. They're a settled team of Harps. Mm. It's, you know, it's McCourt's last appearance. I just can't see that Limerick have been a shambles, Kieran.
I know, but it never seems to end that fairy tale way, does it, when a player is saying his goodbyes? It never just seems to go that way. Very interesting aspect to this. Both teams losing their goalkeepers. Gallagher out, so young Burke has come in there, played very well the other night by all reports, and our good mate Jack Brady there is in goals for Limerick, so that's an interesting aspect. I suppose Brady's probably more experienced than Burke, so do you give Limerick a slight upper hand? My big concern for Limerick is, are the fans going to turn out in force? Because there's a very, very negative vibe around that club.
I think the fact they'll be out for this one, Kieran. If they can't get out for this one, it's time to pack it in, because look, it's the playoff final. You know, they have to be out. They have to give the team every chance to stay in the Premier Division.
Definitely don't think we'll see anything like we did when these two sides met previously in the game in Limerick. I don't think we'll see anything near the figures, but you'd be hoping it's going to be at least a four-figure crowd.
Kieran, let's call it. Are you actually going to go for a Limerick?
Yeah,
Limerick to stay up?
I'm back on Tommy Barry. He came on our show a couple of times. He's a very honest guy. I think he's done very well to get Limerick into this position that they're still fighting with everything that's gone on there. I think It's a
I'm
fairy
just
tale
shaking.
Moment.
I cannot believe the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Limerick to do it.
No way. Not a chance. No, Harps will win the second leg. I'm confident of that, and they'll be promoted.
We'll wager a first round at the Longford Town Awards night. We'll wager.
Kieran, you're already 12-2 down in the prediction league. You should be wagering anything.
My luck is due.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, for some more expert analysis on all things League of Ireland, we're going to go to our next guest now, and of course we're going to talk about that final on Sunday. We're delighted to say we're joined on the line by Soccer Republic pundit Alan Cawley. Okay, folks, we're continuing our cup final build-up now, and I just want to make a slight point. We've mentioned the generosity of our guests several times here on the show this season, and tonight we recorded an interview with Alan Cawley. I got home, sat down to edit it, and due to technical issues, it was an absolute disaster. And Alan has been kind enough to come back on tonight, give up his time to speak to us. So we have to give huge thanks to Alan. Alan, you're welcome back to the show.
No problem, Kieran. I didn't think I'd be talking to you for a second tonight.
No, unfortunately, we don't have the big box equipment here, so we're making do. But as I said, really, really is appreciated. Hopefully the fireworks aren't going to cause any more issues, but Alan, are we going to see some fireworks in the Aviv on Sunday?
Yeah, hopefully, Kieran. Obviously, I suppose before the two teams reached the final, a lot of people, there was a lot of discussion about it, whether it would be a good thing or a bad thing for both teams to get there, and I think a lot of people probably would have liked to have seen Bohemians get through against Cork, but Cork City are there on merit, particularly in the second game in the replay. They played really well and deserved to go through, so I'm kind of glad it's the two best teams. Also, Kieran, I think it's intriguing and fascinating in itself that we have this rivalry built up over such a long period of time now, and here we are again, the Ford Cup, FAI Cup final, and it's the top two teams again. And even though they haven't been thrillers, as you said, they've been fascinating in their own right. But hopefully we do get some sort of fireworks, and by that we mean even just some goal mouth action, a few chances, even a few goals, hopefully. Cardiff played out kind of as cautious, tight affairs, and I think that could be the case again, but maybe, hopefully we're wrong.
Yeah, and you mentioned goal mouth action there. Stephen Kenny spoke today. He may have been responding slightly to John Caulfield's comments earlier in the week, but he said that Dundalk, they can't be blamed for their lack of goals in these finals in recent years, but surely it's up to the Lilywhites to turn up on the day and to get past that defensive block that Cork are so well renowned for.
Yeah, I saw the quote from Stephen, and there's been a few shots fired this week, but I don't think that's a bad thing either, Kieran. I'm looking forward to the final. There's genuine needle between both. I think the managers and the clubs and the both sets of players, which I think is a good thing, and it's been good for this rivalry that they genuinely don't like each other. And some of the comments John Caulfield made during the week, I wasn't too sure about them, because it's not like he's working off
a limited budget himself.
Yeah, exactly. He's well able to sign plenty of players himself. And in fairness to Stephen Kenny, I don't think he's extravagant in his spending at all. Throughout his whole tenure, and they started from scratch, so whatever money they've earned it on the pitch and with their success, so he's fully entitled to sign who he wants, in my opinion. But I actually, when you go through it, they're not actually that extravagant at all in their spending or the players they sign. So it's just a brilliant squad that he's been able to kind of build up over time, and despite losing some top players also. So but I think that's a good thing that the wall shots fired. It's a bit of kind of ramping it up towards the final. You'd expect that as well a few days before the final. But I think when they get down to business, the one thing John Caulfield will be hoping for is a huge response from the game that they played in the league only a few weeks ago, because the rivalry has been great, and throughout the whole rivalry it's been nip and tuck, one getting the better over the other team responding, getting the better over them. Obviously Cork have had the better of it in the cup finals, Dundalk the better of it in the league, but the last league game in Turner's Cross that we covered there, that would have worried me had the cup final been only a week or two away, because it was the easiest game I'd say Dundalk played against Cork City in the 4 years that this rivalry has been going. But since then they've obviously had the Bohemians game at a replay, they've been able to kind of galvanise themselves and regroup. There was a lot of stories about unrest, and they seem to have gone away as well. They've had three good wins in the league, so I think they're coming into this game probably with a point to prove as well, because they suffered a lot of criticism towards the end of the season, and I would be fully expecting a response from John Caulfield's men.
Alan, $1 million question, does Kieran Sadlier start on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't even think it is a $1 million question out here, and you're right to put it, phrase it like that, because he should be playing every game as we've all said, but I think he will start. I think John knows that he probably does need him, especially they'll probably go defensive and cautious as he normally does and revert to type. But you do need a match winner, and he's certainly that, Sadler, and obviously got a hat-trick last week in the league as well. And I think it's 15 goals, 25 in all competitions, 15 in the league. He does need to start, because you still have the protection behind him and the defensive-minded lads behind him. I think Shepherd and Clay and Cummins as well. And it's intriguing on both sets of teams, because one player probably coming in under the radar, and it's probably a bizarre thing to say, the fact that this lad is under the radar because he's so good, is Patrick McElhenney. And then you look at the previous finals, he's the one that all the focus has been on, and he probably hasn't delivered in those finals. Whereas this year, all the focus is on probably Hooban, Duffy and Shields, the three best players they've had. And I think Patrick is hitting form at just the right time. He's been brilliant towards the last probably 3 or 4 weeks for Dundalk. I watched him last week in Daly Mountain, particularly in the second half. He dropped into midfield and he was spraying balls left, right and centre. And as I say, he's coming in under the radar a little bit, and I'd be expecting him to have a huge game Sunday.
How big is the injury concern for Patrick Hooban? If he's not at 110% fitness, do you feel it could be a big detraction from the Dundalk style, the way they play?
Absolutely, because he's their vocal point, really. And despite all the goals, which obviously they're the headline, that's a headline in itself, his hold-up play is absolutely crucial to the way Dundalk play, because they like to flick balls around corners, balls, good service from the full-backs into the front man's feet. He holds it up. He's well able to occupy defenders. He has great strength to hold it up, and he's clever enough and good enough to bring midfielders into the game or even flick things on to the runners, the likes of Duffy on the wing, whoever might play on the other side, maybe Mountaineer or McGrath. So yeah, he's huge, but I think he will play. I was in the game as I say last week. It looked innocuous enough. It looked like one of the defenders, the bold defenders, stood on him as they went for at the corner. I know he limped off and he did go away on crutches, but he's a tough boy, Patrick Hooban, and I don't think it would take an awful lot to come out of this cup final.
Yeah, and of course he hasn't played at the Aviva before, so I'm sure the motivation is there. Alan, final question. Let's hear your prediction on the 2018 FAI Cup final.
Put me on the spot now, Ciarán. I think it'll be tight and tense. I don't think it'll be by any means the Dundalk kind of stroll in the park like we've seen in that last league game. For the points I mentioned, Cork City have regrouped and I'd be expecting a big response for them. But I would have to go towards Dundalk on obviously their season that has just passed to being amazing. They're the best footballing team. I would have to edge it towards Dundalk, and I think they'll win on Sunday.
90 minutes extra time, am I asking too much here?
I think 90 minutes, yeah, but I do think it'll be nip and tuck. It'll be tight enough. I don't see them winning by 2 or 3 or any of that. I think it'll be probably by the odd goal, but I do expect Dundalk to beat them.
Yeah, and let's hope for a big turnout at the Aviva Stadium. Alan, thanks so much for your support of the podcast this year, and we're looking forward to your views. I think you're on the panel Sunday, am I right in saying?
I'm on the panel Sunday, yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. It's a great day out for us as well. It's the showpiece day for our league, and it's the day we get to show off everything good about it. As you say, hopefully there's a few goals, plenty of action, lots of kids and families at the match, a huge crowd, a nice day, and we'll all go home happy, Ciarán.
Brilliant. Alan, thanks so much, and best wishes for the coverage on Sunday.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Ciarán.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
So, John, here we are. This is it. It's time to preview the 2018 FAI Cup final between Dundalk and Cork City, the fourth edition in a row between these two sides. Where is this game won and lost? What's going to be the big headlines from this one?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a 6-5 for a start, Ciarán.
No.
I would say it's going to be attritional, the way that previous finals have been. I think it's going to be down to a Seanan Maguire moment or a, you know, an Akil Campion, somebody unexpected coming up and scoring a goal. Where's it going to be won? I think it's going to be down to the key players, from the standout players. We're talking about the likes of McElhaney and Duffy. Are they going to be able to carve that Cork block apart? Mm. Is it going to be a breakaway from Sadlier or somebody like that for Cork? It's difficult to know. I think it's going to be a lot closer than, well, all of these tend to be close, but I think it's going to be very close.
I don't think we have to tell people what it's going to be like. I think everyone knows. I think all of our guests so far have said it's not going to be a great game, unfortunately. We're hoping it's going to be proven wrong, but we've been saying that for the last couple of years and it hasn't been the case.
And the sad thing is, there's great players on show.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they going to get the opportunity to show their talent, though?
Yeah, as we spoke about with Alan Colley, Kenny came out today and he said about, you know, it's not been Dundalk's fault they haven't scored as many goals in the final. Cork played their way and they're not going to change from it. The question is, will there be the temptation at all from Stephen Kenny to slightly change the way Dundalk play? I go back to that league game at the very start of the year where Dundalk finally broke that hoodoo over Cork, and there was a huge notable difference that Dundalk certainly were a lot more physical on the night and they were willing to roll up the sleeves and battle, and they got the win. And then obviously in the most we've seen Dundalk just passed them off the pitch, but I think it's fair to say Cork had down tools in the league at that stage. This is a one-off game. budget cuts on the way next season for Cork. A lot of these players mightn't be there next year. They are going to want to go out on the highest of highs. They're going to look to be getting three in a row. For me, as you said, battle of attrition goes all the way to extra time and penalties. And for me, I can see a repeat of last year. My prediction for this year is Cork to win on penalties.
Wow, you're going for a Cork victory.
Yeah, I'm going to get absolutely slated by the in-laws. I'm going to be slated by all the Dundalk heads following me on social media. But I'm here to do a job and call it as I see it. I think Cork win the final.
That's fair enough, Kieran. You know, they have got the players in that team. If they performed, I'm just thinking of the likes of Shepherd. Mm. You know, he's a great... He'll always cause problems.
And he'll be well up for this one as well, with all the history of Dundalk.
Exactly. It's going to be Cummins against Hooban, isn't it? There's a lot
How fit is Hooban? That is the big, big question.
Well, yeah, and they won't want to throw somebody like Georgie Kelly into an FA Cup final, well, that's for sure.
Why not?
Because I don't think he's got the experience for that, Kieran.
One thing about a striker is, goals, and he knows his way to goal. He's done well when he's come on for Dundalk this season.
It's a big, big game. It's a big ask for somebody like
that. He's a good hold-up player, and he's the type of player that can get on the end of crosses. So if Dundalk do mix their game up, he's the perfect option to replace Hooban.
I think if they do play, I think that would be advantage Cork, because I just don't think he's the experience. Where Cork have the likes of Shepherd, they've the likes of Cummins. You know,
put it this way, I think if, let's just say, God forbid, Hooban can't play, and we all want to see the best players play, that's
Murray will play, I'm sure of it.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
For me, Georgie Kelly's a better option than Murray. I think Murray can be slightly weak on the ball at times. I've seen him play a couple of times in Ariel this season. Now, maybe it's just because he's coming off the bench and he's a bit cold coming into games and his touch hasn't been great. But for me, Georgie Kelly, if he has that ball at his feet, at his chest, you're not getting it off him. So for me, in a big battle like this, I think Georgie Kelly would be a real asset for Dundalk.
Interesting, that one. I think like you, it's going to be close, Kieran. If I was to give my prediction, I think Dundalk are just going to sneak it.
But, in 90 in extra time?
Yeah, no, I think in the 90, because purely it's only fair if everybody has to get the last train home that it's settled within the 90, you know.
I might be getting that train home with you after that prediction.
Yeah, well, I think so. You won't be allowed anywhere after that. But I think it'd be very, very close. Dundalk to sneak it in the 90.
Okay, folks. We're almost at the end of our final show. We're going to bring you back-to-back interviews now, though. Delighted to say we have a fan's perspective. You'll hear from Jared Lennon, lifelong Dundalk FC supporter. And then you're going to hear from inside the Cork camp. We have Lisa Fallon joining us. So stick around, enjoy these interviews, and we'll have a final word with you then in a couple of moments' time. Okay, folks, so it's time to get the fans' perspective here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast on our FAI Cup final special. And I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by a lifelong Dundalk FC fan. It's Jared Lennon. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran.
So I didn't want to give away your age there by saying you're a lifelong fan, but I'm sure you're excited for another trip to the Aviva this weekend.
Yeah, it's great to get another cup final. We haven't had much joy in the last couple of years, but we'd be hopeful that we might get a bit of luck this time and everything will go well.
Yeah, well, the build-up doesn't seem to be going exactly the plan, I suppose, for Stephen Kenny's side. Injuries to a lot of key players, but from listening to Kenny, he appears quite confident that the likes of Hooban, Benson, etc. will be available. So what's your feelings on the team selection decisions he might have to make for this final?
Yeah, well, it's hard to know. There's a couple of players, Carrion Knox, okay. Robbie Benson appear to be struggling, hasn't played for a couple of weeks. I think Jamie McGrath ruled out the other night as well. And obviously, Pat Hooban did his ankle, so... Word on the ground isn't good in that respect, and we might end up having to play some of them players that John Caulfield reckons we have anyhow. So it's just as well we signed them, probably.
Well, you've brought it up, Jerry, so I might as well ask you for a reaction to John Caulfield's comments. For any of our listeners that didn't catch it, John Caulfield, he claims that Dundalk are stockpiling players, I suppose, signing players they don't need, was the words quoted in the press today. What was your feelings on those comments?
Well, sure, John should know. He's a good man. I think 2 years ago he had 30 of a panel himself. I think Dundalk had around 19 or 20. But anyway, I seen where James Rogers today managed to knock that one back by showing that Cork signed 12 players in the past 12 months, while Dundalk only signed 10. And there's at least two of them have moved on since from Dundalk. So I'm not sure where JC gets his notions, but anyway.
Yeah, I think just sure. It's probably quite similar to the build-up we've seen last year. There's probably going to be a good bit of back and forth between the sides. But is there any feeling that we might see a more attractive game of football this time around?
No.
No, I think that seems to be the feeling among a lot of fans, unfortunately. And myself and John on last week's show definitely shared that opinion.
No, look, realistically, everyone would love to see that. You know, if unfortunately, I think the weather forecast isn't great either, which... You know, wind and rain, if it was a day like today, would have been good. But if you get wind and rain and everything swirling around the place there, it doesn't help. And that's for either team. I have no doubt that, you know, Cork have decent players and they probably would play an attractive brand of football under possibly a different manager, which, you know, is the way it is. But, you know, I think if Dundalk can play to their potential, which we've seen a few times in the last couple of months, you know, they should be good enough on the day. But a cup final, you know, anything can happen. One little error, a slip trip, referee indecision, who knows, anything can change. It's only one opportunity you get and it can all change in seconds. So you need a little bit of luck. Cork know that. They won it a couple of years ago, clipping, you know, Ray Garrett's heel with Maguire's shot. So, look, anything can happen on the day, but I can't see it being, you know, an expansive game that's going to finish 3-3 and go to extra time and after all the rest. So, I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, as I say, if there is going to be 6 goals, I hope we get 5 of them at least.
I can just hear our Cork listeners turning off by the second here, Gerry. But the first meeting between the sides this season was an interesting one. I felt that Dundalk played a brand of football that wouldn't be associated with them normally. They seemed to be a lot more physical and maybe direct, and obviously they got the win that night. Is there any chance that Stephen Kenny might change the game plan slightly for this cup final, considering how the last couple have gone?
I don't think so. You know, his style of play is what it is. He plays wingers. He plays creative midfielders. You know, obviously with the likes of Chris Shields covering across the back four. A lot will depend on the personnel available. That is the only difference. You know, if he does lose a couple of the regular starters, he may have to look, like if Pat Hoobin is out, presumably Georgie Kelly would slot in. George hasn't had, you know, a lot of opportunity this season. He's been more or less getting, you know, a bit of time as a sub. So that's an unknown situation there, whether he then would maybe look at bringing Ronan Murray in to support, you know, George or something on that nature. Difficult to see, but I think if he's got the chance, he's obviously going to try and play Michael Duffy out on the left side, probably John Mountney on the right, and you know, he played that's the usual sort of formation that we've had there recently. So a lot will depend on who's available.
If things were to take a turn during the week and a lot of the players that you mentioned maybe weren't available to start, is this a huge game now for Patrick McElhinney to show that he can do it in the big games? Because I know Cork fans, they've mentioned quite a few times online that he hasn't shown up in these games against Cork.
Yeah, I think Pat, you know, has had a number of things going on in recent years in relation to that. He's always maybe been carrying a little bit of an injury or not. He's looked a lot sharper and fitter in the last month or so since he's come back and be getting regular game time. So I'd hope, yeah, we'd see a big game from Pat. But, you know, it's also about other players stepping up too and making the mark. And sometimes you might get an unlikely hero coming out of somewhere, that's not your goal. But I think, you know, if he has the normal, you know, 11 or 12 that have been regular starting, you know, you would be hoping that Pat and Chris Shees and people like that would stand out across the midfield.
Mm. And Gerry, Stephen Kenny spoke today about the great connection between the local, obviously the fans, and the team in recent years. He says that you can't drive down the street without seeing a black and white flag outside every business. How special is the build-up to Cup Final Week?
Yeah, well, look, the flags have been up and around the town for a few months now, going back probably even to the European games, etc. But there is a buzz. There's, you know, you talk to people today around town. They're making travel arrangements. The buses have been booked, and you know, people are you know, looking at the logistics of getting there and getting back, and all of the rest. As I said, the discussion about the weather and everything. The Cup Final is always special, always was in Dundalk, always drew a big crowd out, and I think this year won't be any different. You
is
know.
There any word on ticket sales down in Dundalk?
No, I haven't heard anything this week, Kieran, but you know, I know last week there was a strong uptake when they went out initially. I think there would have been a steady flow all the time right through, so you know, difficult to put figures on it at this stage, but I'd like to think we'd certainly be, you know, up around the 10,000-12,000 figure that's, you know, is often, you know, moving out on these sort of games.
Gerry, great to get the fans' perspective. Before you go, I'm sure you're not going to surprise us with your prediction, but let's hear it anyway.
I think, as I said, if Dundalk perform as they can and have been for the past couple of months in the league, they're well capable of beating anybody on their day.
Gerry, that'll do. Thank you very much for joining us, and enjoy the Cup Final on Sunday.
Cheers, Kieran.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So we're continuing our FAI Cup Final build-up now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Lisa Fallon. Lisa, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Lovely to chat to you.
You're very busy with the podcast these days. I was listening to your appearance on Greatest League in the World, a great little chat with Conan Conan, I have to say. But look, Lisa, we have you on to discuss Sunday's final. Obviously, you're an analyst, if I'm saying that right. So where do you see this game being won and lost on Sunday?
I think, look, to be fair, there's like the rivalry between Cork City and Dundalk has probably been the heartbeat of the league for the last few years. So I expect a really tight game. Like the previous finals, the previous four have all been tight games. Like I can't see this one being any different. You know, two really good teams, two really good sets of players, two really good groups of management. I think I'm hoping it'll be another good game, and please God, we'll come out on the right side of it.
We're going to have to keep a balance, because I think we're going to be losing Dundalk fans by the second with Dan Murray being our last interview there. But look, Lisa, obviously, as you said, it hasn't been the most attractive final to watch in the last couple of years. Is there any hope that it might be a bit more open this time around?
I would disagree, but then I look at it from a different perspective. I suppose what people like is really open games and, you know, lots of goals from a technical and a tactical point of view. That's not necessarily what you want. You want to win. So it's, you know, sometimes the tactical battle can be just as fascinating as the outcomes of that. So from my perspective, and certainly from, you know, people I'm aware, I know of, we've always found the battles with Dundalk, and that, like, not just in the Cup, but in the league, they're always really, really interesting battles. And, you know, that's the area of the game that I'd be most interested in, is that side of it. So, and look, at the end of the day, if you're in a Cup Final, you just want to win it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up the tactical battle point of view, because obviously with your job, it's all about picking out the small details, and the 1% could be the difference. How big has that become in League of Ireland football? Obviously, we know in the likes of the Premier League and the big European leagues, all the money that's invested into coaching, etc. Is it a lot more prevalent now in the League of Ireland than it was 5-10 years ago?
I think the league has taken massive strides in terms of the development of backroom staff and coaching staff and the professionalism that now exists in the league from 10 years ago. I think, you know, a lot of them are doing their business really, really well. Teams are prepared to the highest standards. They're fit. You know, they know the opposition. There's, you know, and look, at the professional level of the game, teams are much more organised now, and it's harder to break teams down. So it does come down to small margins often in games. Sometimes they're in your control, sometimes they're not. But if there's a margin that you can control, then you do have a responsibility to try and control it. So, but I think, you know, the strides that the league has taken in general over the last 5 to 10 years have been really significant. And I do think you can see that now. You know, the standard of the league is quite high. You know, if you compare it to, you know, the standards in maybe lower leagues in other countries, the standard of the league is growing, and certainly the work that's being done by managers and backroom staff has certainly grown. Like, the size of backroom teams has grown for a start, but yeah, definitely I think you know, that side of the league, even though it's not always tangible, it's not always very visible for people to see, but certainly across the board, you know, all the League of Ireland clubs have made huge strides in that respect.
Yeah, and we have to say congrats to yourself. I believe you're speaking to us the night before you receive your pro licence certificate.
I am. I'm in Belfast at the moment. So yes, we have our graduation ceremony tomorrow. So really looking forward to that. 12 years, I think, since doing my Kickstart 1. So,
well, we're on Kickstart 2 at the moment.
I would have been quicker to be a doctor. But yeah, it's a long road when you go the route. So yeah, personally, from a personal perspective, really proud to be doing it, or to have it done. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey, one that I've really, really enjoyed.
We have a bit of catching up to do, John.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, we're just starting on our managerial career, but I'm sure Lisa doesn't want to hear that. Lisa, so what is the actual aim now? Are you looking to go into management?
Look, I think a lot of people ask that question the last while, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like, it those types of opportunities, It hasn't really happened in men's football, so I don't know. Will it happen? It may or it may not happen, but for the moment, I'm certainly very content in the roles that I'm doing. And, you know, I really like working with the groups of players that I'm working with at the moment, and the backroom teams and the managers. So it's, I know, it's that thing in football, isn't it, or even just in capitalist society, that there's that always that urge to do the next thing and to look further down the road. And sometimes you can lose the moment that you're in. Like, from a Cork City perspective, we're in another cup final. And, like, I'll be honest with you, lads, when I was younger, I remember the first cup final we were in back in 2015, and we lost it. Like, but in 2016, when we won it, I remember holding the FAI Cup in the dressing room afterwards, and, like, I knew there was lads in the dressing room that had dreamed of winning an FAI Cup. But there I was sitting there with the other members of the management team holding it, and it dawned on me that I had never actually dreamed that that could have been possible as a woman, which was incredible, really. But so for me, where I am with Cork City is quite incredible, because sometimes you really have to take stock of where you are, because you can let the moment pass you by. So for us to be in another cup final is an incredible thing, and it's something not to forget about. You know, the opportunity to do three in a row is quite something.
And just from your own coaching point of view, Lisa, do you think there's more respect for women now coming into the game at long last? We're seeing more and more women pundits, women commentators. It's fantastic. It's about time. There needs to be more progress made on that, I'd say, and certainly more investment in men's game. But from your own experiences, do you feel there's more acceptance now?
Yeah, look, to be honest, I suppose in Ireland, if you look across the board, across sports media, you know, there's lots of female, really strong female broadcasters and in the media. So I think in Ireland, we're not too bad compared to maybe some other countries. And certainly from my own personal perspective, I've never had an issue with that because, you know, I think if people see that you can bring value and you can fulfill your role and help to make a difference, then people will have respect for you. To be honest with you, I've never really had an issue in that side of things in the League of Ireland. And that's a great testimony to the people who work in the league that, you know, they would never, certainly sometimes when you go abroad, like, you know, sometimes I've been asked if I'm the physio or if I'm the travel agent even in European games. So, but that's fine, you know, that doesn't bother me. But certainly in the league, you know, I've never really found that people would be disrespectful to you, you know, when you're around the league. As long as she's a woman now, 7 years, I think, you know, people know what you're about. And, you know, as long as you bring value and, you know, that you bring some sort of contribution, I think people will always show you a level of respect. I've not found it an issue, to be honest.
And Lisa, let's end it on the positive note. Can I get a prediction for Sunday's Cup final?
I think the best team will win.
Very diplomatic. Maybe a political career after the football career is finished. But Lisa, it's been absolutely superb having you on. Thanks very much for the insight, and congratulations again on the pro license. Well deserved.
Thanks lads, and best of luck with the podcast.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Lisa.
Cheers.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, John, it's time to get all emotional. We have come to the end of our FAI Cup Final special, and it's the end of the road for Between the Stripes LOI podcast this season. This has been the final show. Your highlights of the year?
Well, I've just enjoyed it all, Kieran. I, you know me, I love the European runs, and unfortunately we didn't have too much of that this year, but love reporting on our teams doing well in Europe. But I'm just hopeful that the our Cup Final special does as well as last year's.
Yeah, last year was a huge hit. This is my favourite show of the year, I have to say. Yeah. I absolutely love the buzz around the Cup Final, no matter who's in it. Obviously, I think everyone would have liked to see a different lineup this year around in terms of the teams on show. But look, let's hope it's going to be a better final. And I'm hoping that the attendance is going to rival the 2010 final. That was the first game at the Aviva. It was 36,000 Sligo Shamrock Rovers.
And to be fair, the FAI have done a decent job this year.
They've given it a crack. They've done the minimum that they should do.
Our Sunday fixture is postponed.
No harm after last weekend. Look, I'm hoping that there's reports of 30,000 tickets gone already, whether Brilliant. That's accurate or not. Let's hope it is the case. Weather isn't looking great. Let's hope we get a bit of a break of sunshine. But look, folks, we don't want to keep rambling on. I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's listened this season. With so many other podcasts out there, I think it's great that we're still here, we're still going. A couple of them died off by the wayside.
Can you believe that after 2 years, Kieran, we're still going?
Of course, we had our 1 year anniversary show this year as well, which was absolute. That was off the charts in terms of numbers. So it's been great. To everyone interacting with us on social media, we absolutely love it. And as well, a big mention to everyone that's been reading our articles on BetweenTheStripes.ie. The traffic this month, John, alone is up 600%.
Yeah, well, that was that super article on Derry as well that got a lot of links and clicks online. Get your words out, Brian.
So look, final word before we go. We have to say unbelievable thanks to our sponsors, Flomax.ie. They've been an incredible support over the last year and a half, and we hope to have them on board again next year. St. Mel's Brewery, likewise, always active on the social media.
Kieran, when do I get my beer?
Yeah, we're going to be into the brewery next Thursday. We're going to have a bit of a photo shoot as John collects his...
It could be dangerous if me and you're in a brewery, Kieran.
Yeah, we're going to do a bit of a photo shoot, and we might crack a few bottles open while we're at it. And then obviously Diageo.ie, who created our beautiful new website at the start of this year. We have to give huge thanks to them. Lochry's Pharmacy in Drumlish as well, that lets us use their fine facilities here every week. We will be back with a Christmas special. We promised it last year and we let it go by. It ended up in a New Year special, which was still very enjoyable. But John, this year we're going to get the turkey here, we're going to get the cans out, it's going to be a Christmas special. We'll get some good characters on the show, as they say.
We can't drive home now after a can. That's a danger.
We'll walk. Look, folks,
bring the bike.
We've kept you long enough this season. Thanks again to everyone that supported us. Please do give this a share on social media. We want this final show of the season to go far and wide. The cup final is until Sunday, so loads of time to share it around. Let's hope for a cracker. Best of luck to Dundalk and Cork City and to their supporters. Safe travel. Enjoy the day. Behave yourselves. And we might actually see a few of you up there. So don't be afraid to come up and say hello and give us some feedback on the podcast. And finally, if you are a listener on iTunes, please do give us a subscription and give us a review and your thoughts on the podcast this season. It does really help push us up them charts. That's been it from Between the Stripes LOI podcast. God bless and up the League of Ireland.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.